हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Bhagavad Sandarbha Adhyaya 2 Adhikarna 1 Description of the Form of Bhagavan, page 49. Sri Sridhar Swami explains it as follows. Jnana means awareness. Vijnana means the chit shakti, shakti of awareness. I offer my respects to the ocean of knowledge and the chit shakti. What is the eternity made complete by them? What is the entity made complete by them? That is stated with the word Brahmane. I offer respects to Brahman. Brahman is described. Agunaya avikaraya. I offer respects to Brahman without gunas or change. Brahman has unlimited shaktis, ananta shaktaye. He is the stimulus for prakriti, prakritaya. Or he has non-material shaktis. Prakrityaya. The meaning is this. Because he does not have gunas, he is without change. Because he is pure knowledge or awareness alone, jnana, he is beyond cause. But by his unlimited shaktis, he causes prakriti to act. Because he is an ocean of chit shakti, vijnana, he is the Lord, the cause of everything. He is both the cause and the non-cause. So the first thing is, jnana means you have awareness, you have this knowledge in that. But then the vijnana means then it's mixed, it has the aspect of the chit shakti. So chit shakti is what is dealing with engagement itself. Right? Because that's the abhideya aspect. So then the point comes up then is that vijnana means you're applying the knowledge. Right? Because you understand it, you've realized that you find it valuable. Not just because you're supposed to. Right? Does that make sense? So someone who only has the jnana but doesn't apply it, then that's in a lesser position than one who has knowledge and applies it. And then higher than that is one who has knowledge, applies it, and realizes it. Right? So to realize, you have to apply. Like that. And so then, we have these shaktis, we have knowledge, we have the chit shakti, so then what makes it, what gives it its fullness, its completeness, and that's going to be Brahman. Because that has to be the basis, because these are shaktis. So then shakti has to have shaktiman. So that becomes an important aspect. Right? So Brahman means that there are shaktis. Shakti means there's Brahman.
It's automatic.
Yes.
Okay. Then the Mayavadis say that their goal is Brahmananda. That means yes, but Ananda is one of the shaktis of Brahman. So what is their understanding of Brahman, bliss to be with Ananda to be? They consider a shakti or like, what is the understanding that they have?
Yeah, what's the understanding of Mayavadis of bliss since it's a shakti? They don't think that far. We always have to remember is that anything other than pure devotional service, they just don't think that far. Why don't they think that far? Because by thinking that far, then their philosophy won't work. That's all.
Skanta, 10 pages explains that.
There's going to be another 10 pages coming up. Okay, so get a nice explanation. Okay, and so because he has knowledge... Right, then there is no cause, right? Because if there's awareness of everything, how can there be a cause? right? Because you have awareness up to your cause. You don't have beyond your cause. You don't have the awareness of the cause. Right? So you're limited in your awareness. So he has the unlimited awareness. He is awareness. He is pure knowledge or awareness alone. So it means whatever awareness is that he is that. So that means there can't be a cause before him because he's aware of everything. Does that make sense? Right? Cause and effect means the effect has awareness up to the cause, but not beyond the cause. But the cause has understanding or knowledge or awareness beyond that, beyond the effect. But he being knowledge, right? So they're saying he's knowledge, so he has awareness, so he has no cause.
Yes.
Right? Yes. Okay, and then you have the chit, which is the application of things. So then he's the cause of everything. He has no cause because he's jnana, and because of the chit, he is the effect. I mean, he's the cause of everything, of all effects. Does that make sense? Yeah. Therefore he's the cause of everything, but at the same time he's not the cause because he's beyond everything.
Yes.
Right? He does it with his energies. That's the whole thing. He's unchanging because his energies take care.
Yes.
Like that. Ramanujacharya's followers describe the difference between Shakti and Shaktiman. They maintain that Shakti arises from the Lord's Sarup since it is intimately connected with his Sarup. Thus the conclusion is the same. They say that not only the Lord is unchanging, but his qualifying Shaktis are also unchanging. This is the Sarup Shakti. So the Sarup Shakti doesn't change either. Right? It's always unchanging. So it's the Shaktis within, the variety of Shaktis within the Sarup Shakti, then they're changing. Otherwise, the Sarup Shakti is changing, then how does it maintain that connection with the Lord? So it's an after that, the expansions, and they're changing. Because we see, Maya is transforming. Because that's what people are worried about. They're not worried about, Maya bodies aren't worried about whether the spiritual world, the energies are changing or not. They're worried about the material world. Right? Yeah, so when we say the Lord's unchanging, it's only in comparison to the material world. They're in relationship to. Somebody says, yeah.
What is the definition of Sarup Shakti? Sarup Shakti. Sarup Shakti.
Sarup Shakti. Means it's the energy of his own form. It's the direct energy of himself. Like that. Then within that, there'll be three divisions. The internal, external, and marginal. These are the major. There's unlimited energy, so these are the major categories.
How about you, the term personal?
Personal.
His
personal energy. So that's why you see is that, and from that expands all the others. That's why when Krishna's using just directly his personal Shakti, Balaram, who's an expansion, can't understand.
Yes.
But because he's also all aware, he can understand that something is there. You know, but he can't actually understand. So that's the point. Is Krishna's Maya, Balaram can't understand, right? Because Balaram and his energies are an expansion of Krishna and his energies. Priti, having established that Brahman has his own Sarup Shakti, which is non-different from him, a doubt may arise that if Brahman has an equivalent in the form of Shakti, who is said to be non-different from them. Him, then how can Brahman be called Advaya, one entity alone? Right? So they're always going to do, there's a problem. You solve that problem, they'll make a new problem. Like that. Yeah. In order to answer this, Jiva Goswami next proves that Brahman can have internal difference. Internal difference does not produce the fault of contradiction to the statement that Brahman is Advaya, one entity alone. Because here, Brahman means Krishna. Right? So now, we may be discussing with the Mayavadis on the platform of the Brahma Jyotir, because that's all the more they can realize with knowledge, without bhakti. Does that make sense? But Brahman means Krishna. Brahman doesn't mean Brahma Jyoti.
Yes.
Right? Because Brahma Jyoti, Jyoti means what? The effulgence, right? Of Brahman. So it's the effulgence of Brahman.
Yes.
So in other words, Krishna is Brahman. And then the Jyoti is his effulgence. Is this not someone else's, you know, effulgence or something? It's the guy who plays the piano and sings wears funny glasses.
Elton John?
Elton John. Yeah, it's not his effulgence or something like that. It's Krishna's. It's Brahman's effulgence. Yeah. Does that make sense? Though he wears a lot of sparkles, but still it does not compare. It's just, it's logic, right?
That's a reflective effulgence.
Yes.
Self-effulgence.
Yes, that's the point. So reflective, it's not self.
It is automatically a person.
So it's automatically a person. That's the point, because otherwise where is it going to come from? It can't come from nothing. Because in their flaw, it costs it from nothing, but it can't have it, because then there's a quality. That there's a, if there's a shakti, it means there's a quality, so they can't deal with that. And then saying he has no qualities, having no qualities is still a quality. And so then they'll say, yes, that's there, so we can understand, like at the second level, you know, when you become God, Ishwara, but then when you come to the third level, the highest level, then at that point all this disappears and there's nothing. But if there's nothing, then the problem comes is there's no Ananda either. You know, so that's the difficulty here. Is they don't think that much. They think, but not that much. You know, it's just like, let's say someone is really in anxiety about something, you know, thinking about this, that, so many things. They're thinking a lot, but it doesn't mean that it's accomplishing anything.
Yes.
Yeah. So many things. Yeah.
Ananda in nothingness is basically an abstract idea.
Which? Nothing.
Ananda in nothingness.
Ananda in nothing is an abstract idea, but nothingness is also an abstract idea.
Yeah.
Right? And for them, Ananda is also an abstract idea, so it's all abstract.
Yeah.
Right? Because the point is it has to be abstract, because concrete means then you experience it, but there is no you, so how can you experience it? So it can only be an abstract thing that we talk about. You know, it's like we're going to be happy if we indulge in the material activities. It's an abstract concept. Internal difference does not produce the fault of contradiction to the statement that Brahman is Advaya, one entity alone, since internal difference is unavoidable as its very existence, though it is devoid of the six transformations which is present in material existence. Internal difference is natural elsewhere as well, even in the sense objects, tanmata. The particulars of earth, whose quality is fragrance, is experienced by the experiencer and is not really different from the fragrance itself, since they are both experienced by the nose. Right, so the experiencer is experiencing, but it's also the nose is experiencing. But it's also a quality that's inherent in the earth. Right, so you're experiencing that, so you'll say that's a transformation, but at the same time, it's not the earth transforms by that. So you can have internal difference. Right, you can say here's the earth itself, and then there's a fragrance. So the fragrance is a variety within. There's a difference within, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't, how you say, it's not still one entity. Right? Even though it's being experienced by even someone else. Like that. Does that make sense? So, the whole point is variety can be there, but all that variety is all part of that one entity. Right? So that one entity has these internal differences. Right, so you have to take it one step at a time with these guys, because if you come in and just mention it, that's why so much logic, you start at where they are and then you just keep that one, you just keep it back until nothing else is left. Right. Furthermore, the proponents of oneness in discussing the characteristics of Brahman cannot avoid Brahman having internal difference. Svagata Bedha, footnote 18, Priti. Difference is of three kinds. They are, one, difference from the object of the same class, difference from an object of another class, and internal difference. Right, so you have these three kinds of differences. They are respectively known as sajatiya, vijatiya, and svagata bhedas. Right, so the bhedas are, there's three, right? Svajatiya, vijatiya, and svagata. Right, so even we're just thinking differences, okay, like that. Now they break down difference, you know, to argue over that, right? Sajatiya bhedia is difference. E.g. means example. For example, between one mango tree and another mango tree. Okay, so that means of the same class, right? So you can see there's some difference there. Vijatiya bhedia is difference between a mango tree and a neem tree or a rock, right? Etc. Svagata bheda refers to different parts of the same object, like roots, trunk, branches, stacks, leaves, etc. of a tree. So that makes sense? So one is between something of the same class, there's a difference. Something that is completely different, there's a difference. But within itself, it has different aspects. So they're trying to say it's all just one homogeneous, things like this, and that's just a nothingness. So what is homogeneous that you can't distinguish anything of, even though it may have these differences, but you can't distinguish them at all? There's one thing that has that.
Light?
Huh?
Is it light?
No, pradhan. Right? So that means their philosophy never gets past pradhan. So their understanding of Brahman is actually pradhan. They don't actually know Brahman. Because Brahman is Krishna's effulgent, and so it has Shakti. Otherwise, how is it manifest as effulgent? So that position, that of eternity, then has that effulgence. So there's a Shakti there. And so then there'll be these differences. Right? So then you have the difference that it's one, and so you have Brahman and Shakti, and but they're the same. You know, just like the tree has roots and branches, but it's the same. Like that. So they actually can't know beyond Brahman. That's why they'll say life comes from just from matter. That's why all these philosophies. So all philosophies other than Vaishnavism, they never get past pradhan. Right? So unless you accept God as a person, we're individuals, you can't get beyond that concept.
And this is the maximum for the ascending process.
It's the maximum for the ascending because it's material, it's within the material world. So you can't get past pradhan. Because what's after pradhan? If we're talking creation, what's after pradhan? If we're going in the inverse, we're starting ourselves and folding everything back, you get to pradhan. Then in the creation, what's before pradhan? No, that'll be after.
Other side.
It means you're going the other way. You're reversing. So then the 24 elements go back in, you know, it means all the variety goes back into the Mahatattva, that goes back into Advaya, that goes back into Pradhan. What's before that?
The Lord.
Right? Because then the Lord is there. So that's why they can't get beyond it, because he's a person. He glances, he starts the whole thing going. So unless they accept him as a person, they can't get past pradhan. That's as far as they get. Because and what's the last covering within the universe?
False ego.
No, it's pradhan, no?
That's a pradhan.
Yeah, pradhan. Oh, false ego and pradhan are the same. Okay, it's the same thing. Because that's, you know, just maximum false ego. Just all that together. You know, just homogeneous.
Pure.
Yes. Pure. So this pradhan, that's as far as they can get. They can't get past that. They can't cross the viraja. Right? That's why I said the living entity looks over the viraja at the other bank. The other bank is the material world. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So they never get out of the material world. Even impersonalists won't get out of the material world. Right? They'll be in a better position. They may get out of the universe, but they won't get out of the Mahatattva. But the Mayavadis are never going to get out of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, We're okay with that?
According to this philosophy, if we think that we are just something formless, and now we cover the knowledge, means that our main desire in material world must be to, main attachment must be to merge in something impersonal, like going to take bath in ocean must be main material attachment. But if our material attachment to be, to have relationship with some person, it logically proves that we have some internal form.
Yes, that would be the natural, that's the logical way of looking at it, that if we see that we have an inclination towards relationships, natural, everybody has that. So then you could have an understanding that there must be something there, because you're dealing with the soul is there, then there must be. But unfortunately, due to enviousness in that, then they can't necessarily see that. Because you also have the pride, because jnana, the position of jnana is higher than that of karma. So because of that pride, then it has to be better and it has to have no connection. Right? Rather than, it's better because they're looking at the soul rather than just the material facilities. Right? Because someone in karma, then they understand that they're the soul, not the body, but it only matters in as much as if I do good karma now, I'll get it later. I'll be the same entity, just in a new body. But the good work will, the results of good work will carry on. Right? And so then they can understand there's a higher principle. It'll make them follow the mode of goodness and to follow their fruit of work. Understand? So vikarmis, then they don't understand actually about the soul and everything like that. So they think there's only this life and all that. So even if we're dealing with those who say there's a soul, they still are saying there's only one life. You know, and so they're kind of in between. And they're not really. It's they maybe have an understanding of manomoy, but basically they're functioning in everything and the value system still in pranamoy, like that. Because even those who are religious, if someone does within the world religions, then that fixes themselves more in the manomoy. You know, it's about what God says and that. Others in the same religion will consider them a bit too, you know, fanatic. You know what I'm saying? Because they're still using the social system of these. That means if you're dealing with the Protestants, you're going to get that a lot. It means they don't have any system. Nothing. Like that. I mean, as it is, Christians basically don't have anything. But they've kind of generated one over, you know, so many thousands of years. But the Protestants really just have nothing. So it lends itself well to the modern social construct. It's just whatever people decide as truth works. You know? Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's why. But in general, they just don't have. So if you go to older than that, you know, then you'll find that then they have rules than that. And so then it has more form. So it's less, it's more on the manomoy platform and less on the pranamoy. But still, even their performance of social, you know, all these religious duties is still for their material benefit. It's still within fruit of activities. Does that make sense? Because that's what manomoy is about. So it's only when you get to vijnanamoy, then they understand they're not the body, and they function on the platform of the soul, not the and using the conditioning rather than you are the soul. So it's enough to be able to use the conditioning to advantage. But in other words, if you think you are the body, you get less out of your endeavors than if you understand you're the soul. You can do more. Understand? Just the qualities, the good, you know, whatever it is, the interactions go nicer. Like if you know you're not the body, then getting old is not such a problem, right? Because you know there's a next birth. But if you don't know that, that you know, that's it. You get old and you know, you're finished. It's just what do you have left? Especially if the more physical you were established, you know. sentences. Yeah. So it just it just works more easily. So you have these levels. Does that make sense? So then yeah. Did that work?
When we it's easy for us to understand that we are different from our wealth, if we have it, because we're afraid to lose it. But if we have some intelligence, we usually pride and we don't afraid to lose. Does it mean that a self-identification on the level of jnana is the more strong?
The self-identification and jnana, no, I would say self-identification and ignorance to be strong. Because if you have money and you're so proud that you are money, and so you'll always have money, and then they don't care about dealing with money properly, that's when they lose it.
Usually in one life you can have experience that you can lose money.
Yeah.
You can't have experience in one life that you can lose intelligence.
It depends what country you're from. If you're from Russia, then every morning you can see this. Like that. I mean, if you're up at night, you can see it at night. You know, let alone intelligence, just even general motor skills or, you know, ability to talk, anything. That's all gone. Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's pretty obvious. You can, at least for the women, it's obvious. The men may or may not be as obvious, but for the women, it's pretty obvious. So, no, I'm sure in Kentucky also they have.
Yes,
they also have. Kentucky is quite.
You lose your intelligence, your teeth, your dog, your wife,
everything. You just wake up in a ditch and how'd they get here? There must be a story, right? You know? Okay, Brahmana has none of these differences according to Advaitavadis. It has no Svajatiya Beda. There is no another Brahman from which it is to be distinguished. There is nothing else other than Brahman or other side Brahman making for Vijati Beda. Right? There's not something else other than Brahman. There's not something equal to Brahman. And within Brahman, then they say there's no variety. Therefore it is said in Scripture, Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. In other words, Brahman is all these. Brahman is one, and there is no multiplicity in it. So Brahman is free from Svagata Beda. However, Srila Jiva Goswami proves how Brahman has Svagata Beda. Right, so they'll just say there's no variety. So we see here, when we say there's no variety, we just stop there. But they have three kinds of variety, right? And when you point it out, it's pretty obvious. But at the same time, we would never take it that far. This is what it means when you have nothing to do. you get down to this level. It means that the Shastra deals with it, but it deals with it because people are going to have nothing to do and get into this stuff. In the statement, Vijnanam Anandam Brahma, Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad 3.9.28, do the words. Okay. Do the words Vijnanam and Anandam simply mean Brahman, or do they have separate meanings? Because if they mean Brahman, and there's no separate meanings, but Brahman has no variety in it, so why would you make the statement of Vijnanam and Ananda? Because there's just a oneness there, so there is no difference. You know, so them talking about Brahman and Ananda is actually bogus, according to their philosophy. That's the thing. So by their philosophy, they'll end up with nothingness. And somehow or another, that's supposed to be better than the variety here. You know? They cannot have the same meaning because there would be mere repetition of the meaning. Brahman is Brahman is Brahman. Right? Vijnanam Anandam Brahma. So it would be Brahma, Brahma, Brahma. That would be the statement. You know? Apply some grammar and you'll get some little different endings there, but Brahman is Brahman is Brahman. If they have separate meaning, it results in internal difference, since this means that there is knowledge and bliss within Brahman. Right? So. To claim that one can discard these words because they simply indicate one entity through negating material suffering and the concept of individuality, individual identity, is wrong. Discarding. Okay, means. To claim that one can discard these words because they simply indicate one entity through negating material suffering and the concept of individual identity is wrong. Right? We need a comma there. Right? Discarding two words is a whimsy. Right? Otherwise, there's three there. There's the why would you keep one and throw out the other two? It's just whimsy. The point is, if Shastra is correct, then you deal with all these. But if it's just a matter you pick and choose what you want, then how is that something special? It's just like, let's say we bring out the dessert, okay? And, you know, for the kids, sometimes they'll just eat part of the dessert. You know, like only, you know, the whipped cream, the icing or the whipped cream or things like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So the whole point is how is that mature? But you take the whole thing, it all goes together.
It's a question of taste.
Taste. Yeah, that's also a question of who cooked it. Also. Is it correct to accept the two words as modifiers of the word Brahma? Not doing so results in pure void philosophy. In other words, you just end up with Buddhism. So they're not... So, in other words, they can't claim to be Mayavadis. So they're just Buddhists. You know, like that. And so if they're Buddhists, then, you know, hey, you know, how you say? Shankaracharya, you know, specifically went around to kick Buddhists out of India. So therefore, if you're a Buddhist, then, you know. You know, they say Thailand's nice and stuff like that. So, you know. Like that. If one entity alone exists, does one term, either vijnanam or anandam, represent the opposite of both ignorance and suffering? If there is one term, why is the other term rejected? Right. So if it's all just one, why is it you're accepting one, not the other? I mean, the point is why do we want to do Brahma Vijnanam Anandam? Right? Because Brahman means it's eternal. Right? Here's temporary. Then you have ignorance. There's Vijnana. And then you have misery. Then you have Anandam. Right, so there's eternity, knowledge, and bliss. You're establishing that. So these three together, we'll look at it. They're looking at it from the Brahman plan. It's just saying the supreme is eternity, knowledge, and bliss.
Yes.
Right? You know what I'm saying? So that's the point, is Brahman is a person. Like that at least. If there's one term, why is the other rejected? How does one term, anandam, represent the opposite of both ignorance and suffering? Mm-hmm. Right? Or the other, or one may propose that in anandam, so now it's going to do the whole anandam thing? Mm-hmm. Or that's coming up?
Yeah.
Oh, it starts here?
Start from here, then.
Okay.
They have their Purva Paksha also.
Okay. So, yes. So, still going to argue over it. One may propose that in Ananda both meanings are indicated. If one says that Vijnana is presented but lesser, then it means there is knowledge in bliss, since in accepting bliss one sees the opposite of ignorance, Vijnanam, also. So even if you're saying this, then that means there has to be knowledge there, because if the Ananda gets rid of ignorance and suffering, that means then there must be some element of knowledge. So in Ananda there must be knowledge. So if you can get that variety within there, why can't you get within Brahman? Because like, they'll accept it one place, and then you say, Brahma, oh, no, no. Mm. You know? It's just like, let's say, one devotee, a cook, was telling me, he made this drink, really nice drink, you know, for the Sunday program. And, you know, and I was asking him, you know, how he made it and this and that. I think he knew he cooked, so he was telling me everything about it. And then... I can't remember how it came up, is that someone else came up, wow, that was a really nice drink and all that. You know, what was it? He just said a few ingredients. And they smiled and walked off. They were really happy. And I asked him, why don't you tell what it's made of, the basis? Because if I tell them, they won't drink it.
Yes.
Right? The whole point is that He uses all these nice ingredients, but because people have their concept of what you could use and what you can't, because they don't have experience, that if there's something there that they wouldn't relate to as using, then even though they drinking goes, this is fabulous, if you tell them what it is, they're, oh, we'll just put it down, they won't drink it.
Yes.
That makes sense.
Yes.
You know, so it wasn't some strange ingredient, it was whey. You know, because for the Sunday feast, they'll take the milk, make paneer, and then the whey, he would turn into a juice, as a drink. But he could not tell anyone what it was. Because as soon as that, oh, we don't drink whey, you know, it's like that. No one would drink it, even though it was fabulous. So that's the whole problem, is that you go on that and you're talking about anandam, vijnanam, you know, it's like you could switch the words around, one could be in the other and all this and that, there could be the variety, even though it's all part, but as soon as you say so, that means Brahman, oh no. So that's the problem. We're dealing with a very subjective view of things. It's not objective like is being claimed. Right? If one says that vijnanam is presented but lesser, then it means there is knowledge and bliss, since in accepting bliss, one sees the opposite of ignorance, vijnanam also. But then, including the separate word vijnanam in the Shruti statement would be meaningless repetition only. Like, why would they repeat it unless that aspect, if Brahman, if Ananda already includes vijnana, why repeat it unless it's something important? Because if it's lesser, it's not more important, so it would be meaningless to repeat it, right? Because any repetition is considered, this word's important, this concept is important. Right? This gives rise to a fault, because by the word anandam, the extra word vijnana becomes useless. Or you may argue that vijnana alone should remain, since anandam invariably accompanies realization, right? Because if you get realization, of course there's going to be anandam. But with the disappearance of the word anandam as well, the fault caused by merging the meaning of ananda into vijnanam, the motive for human effort, happiness, would disappear. Because otherwise, why would you do it? People aren't working just for knowledge. They're working for happiness that comes from the knowledge. You know, so that means you could possibly drop the vijnana, but not the ananda. Right. One may reply that vijnana, being agreeable to Brahman, is itself bliss or ananda. Vijnana, the form of bliss, is Brahman. However, one cannot avoid the fact that, quote, being agreeable produces another quality in Brahman. So every time they try to explain how this works in Kanara Brahman, they mention another quality. So every time they add qualities onto something that has no qualities. Right? Because now we're saying here agreeable with Brahman, you know, or that awareness, or accepting. Brahman accepts, you know, jnana and therefore becomes Ishwara. Or Brahman becomes covered, you know, by ignorance and therefore becomes the jiva. So as they go, they just keep adding to explain everything. They have to add qualities. And at the same time, they'll say there's no qualities. So it just doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. If one proposes that Brahman is different from both anandam and vijnanam, then the counter correlates. Pratyayogi, ignorance and suffering have no function at all in relation to Brahman. Right? So then you're saying that has... Yeah, makes sense. So in relation to Brahman, they have no function, so it's supposed to be... Yes, the point is this, anandam and vijnanam, they're the ones that are removing ignorance and suffering. But if Brahman is different from them, then the problem comes is, how is Brahman then removing ignorance and suffering? Right? So if Brahman... being on the Brahman platform removes ignorance and suffering, that must mean then there is vijnanam and anandam. Right? But if you say, no, Brahman can't have these qualities, then how will Brahman remove these? Right. So,
you can say that if it is like that, so why to speak about that?
Yeah, why even speak about them? Because if they're not party to Brahman, or they're not qualities of Brahman, how would Brahman then cause that? Because we're saying, no, but then you'll have no ignorance, but something has to be removing that. So what's doing that? So that means then if Brahman's not, that means all you have is the material energy. The illusion is removing it, so why would the illusion, but the illusion giveth, the illusion taketh away. You know, why would that be going on?
Pastime
of illusion, yes. Yeah, so Brahman's doing nothing. Right? Okay. Some have said that Brahman is the counter-correlate, pratiyogi, of both suffering and ignorance. But counter, right? But if Brahman is the opposite of insentience, it means that it's endowed with knowledge. Thus we say that Brahman is knowledge, right? Because they'll say that. So that means that if it is the opposite of suffering, it is ananda. Thus Brahman is full of knowledge and bliss rather than just being Brahman. It has to have those qualities. Right? Because the Shruti says so. So how can they argue with that? But they do anyway. So now here's their argument.
When you say that you have quality like Ananda and Vijnanam, it is like Shakti?
Yes, that's the whole point. We've proven they're Shakti, so these are Shaktis.
Yes.
And then they'll say, oh, but if they're Shakti, is now this point, if they're Shakti, then that means you're saying that there's two things in Brahman, so that means it's not one.
Yes.
So they're showing, no, there's a non-difference. You can have variety, difference, but at the same time, it still be one entity.
Yes.
You know, showing like the tree can have branches and roots
mm-hmm.
and still be one tree.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yes.
So from this I can understand that this is a perfect arrangement to keep conditioned soul inside the material world.
Yes.
They give this highest impersonal concept.
Yes, yes.
And that's it.
Yes, so that means, yeah, it's the karmis are going to go on and they get up to a particular point. And, you know, if it didn't work for Hiranyakashipu, it's not working for anybody. Right? And then when they get into the impersonals, they'll get up to this kind of level and they'll still stay inside. So that means other than the Lord's mercy that's coming through the mercy of the Vaishnavas based on faith and bhakti, there is no way to get out of the material world.
Yes.
Prabhupada says that thinking oneself to be God is the final glare of Maya.
Yes, the final snare. Because that's their whole point, they are God. Because if it's all one and there's only Brahman, so that means they are also this Brahman. And so they think they're God. Right? So they're doing it in an impersonal way. The yogis are doing it in a seemingly personal way. They think that they are that form of the Lord and merge in that form, so they become non-different from the form. But still, they're merging. Right? So that's the last snare. That's the last snare of Maya.
Right?
Even if you got through everything else, she'll catch you with that.
This one is the last covering of the universe.
Oh, the last covering. Yes. 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 Yeah. Purva Paksha. The opposition claims that what remains by the extinction of both suffering and ignorance through vidya or knowledge is simply one form of Brahman, no jnanam and anandam. The opposition says that not one form of Brahman. So here's one form, means there's another form, so then they can compare. So they're getting rid of within, it can have variety, but then comparing it to something else, that there's some other. Yeah. It just gets worse, right? The opposition says that knowledge or vidya is Brahman's function of intelligence, which gives realization of Brahman. When Brahman's counter correlate called illusion appears, the counter correlate of intelligence to realize Brahman through what is it from ignorance also appears. Okay. Counter-correlate of knowledge, then that you have the illusion appears, then a counter-intelligent appears, which means then ignorance appears. So illusion appears, that means then intelligence appears, then ignorance appears. I have a really funny system. However, just as darkness as a counter-correlate cannot occur from the presence of the experiencing eye with a slight glow emanating from the effulgence of the sun, without the sun having an upadi, like a pot. So the counter-correlate of Brahman, illusion, can be accomplished only by a special, suitable upadi. So this is still there talking?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. The opponent gives the following example to show knowledge removing ignorance. Knowledge arising from statements of scripture defeat the illusion of a suffering universe, which is continually perceived, just as Arjuna endowed with Krishna annihilates the Kuru dynasty. Okay. But, as previously, this means that Brahman has qualities of knowledge and bliss, since these qualities negate the suffering experienced in the world. Okay. So now they're saying it does have qualities.
That knowledge is Brahman's function of intelligence implies any person will have intelligence. Then
yes, that's the thing, is that to explain that there isn't anything like that, then they are constantly saying there is. So it doesn't make sense.
Their proposition now is all these are figurative, just to understand Brahman. Basically all these qualities doesn't have a stand on their own. They're just figurative to understand Brahman.
That means they give some connection to Brahman. So then, unless they're connected to Brahman, how that works, that'll be what the Acharya will then speak. Okay. But as previously, this means that Brahman has qualities of knowledge and bliss. Some of these qualities negate the suffering experienced in the world. The following argument is also given. Words relate to Brahman in a conventional way. And thus, words descriptive of Brahman do not actually indicate its qualities. They do not relate to Brahman in an absolute way, since words in scripture indicate types and qualities. The forms of blue and yellow, and the joy arising from seeing a pleasing form, occur as functions of the antakarna to produce knowledge and bliss. But these do not relate to the sarup of Brahman. One entity which is actually indescribable appears as Vijnana and Ananda by proximity to a form of insentience and suffering caused by the three gunas. So now they're saying that Brahman, by his proximity to the Maya, then takes on this form of Vijnana Ananda. So this is where they get the aspect of Ishwara.
Yeah. It's the same as the Vaisheshika philosophy. Even they have the same. Vaisheshika also say the same thing. The proximity, it creates things.
Oh, okay. Okay. One entity which is actually indescribable appears as Vijnana and Ananda by proximity to a form of insentience and suffering produced by the three gunas. However, one should dismiss the meaning of Vijnana and Ananda to be insignificant, taking their meaning as Jaha Lakshana, figurative. The two words Anandam and Vijnanam cannot, by their own power, describe Brahman, since Brahman literally means the greatest.
Ali was actually just saying,
yeah, Brahman. Yeah, yeah, he's just saying, yeah, but probably no one understood if he came out, Aham Brahmasmi. Yeah, it wouldn't have worked, yeah. Yeah, okay. As well, Brahman is unlimited. Satyam Jnanam Anantam. Brahman is unlimited existence. That is how the following statement is understood. Yena Chaitayate Vishvam Esha Yevanandayati. He gives bliss to the universe, and by him the universe is brought to life. Taittiriya Upanishad 2.7.1. The two words are simply used in order to reject the upadhi causing ignorance and suffering, and not to describe two qualities in Brahman. Right? So they'll go about describing it as Brahman when you point out it's a fault and giving it to a Brahman. Then they'll say, well, not, it's not actually Brahman. Then they'll start talking about the Ishwara aspect, the proximity. And if you point out any fault there, they'll bring it down to the third, or, you know, they just. The two words are simply used in order to reject the upadhi causing ignorance and suffering, and not to describe two qualities in Brahman. The two upadhis which describe difference are not related to Brahman. Riti. The opponent's argument basically is that the qualities of Brahman, which are mentioned in the Vedas, are just figurative. In other words, they are not directly the real qualities, but are indirectly referring to Brahman because Brahman is indescribable. Hence, they claim that the statements of scriptures referring to qualities of Brahman can't prove internal difference. Right? Because they can't even discuss about Brahman. But the problem is if Brahman is indescribable, then why are they trying to describe? Right? If they can't describe, then that's fine. But if others are describing, how can they say that it's not possible? Right?
Yet they are describing.
So, yes, they're describing that you can't describe. So it's still a description. So that the problem comes down is that it's always going to be contradictory at any point.
Or only they are the authority in describing.
Sorry?
They think so that only they are the authority in describing.
Yes, then they become the authority in describing, not scriptures. Because here they're adjusting scriptures.
Yes.
Like that. They're not accepting parts.
Chan is endorsing this, Lord Zhu, because if you will attain Dao, it's like a Brahman in a Vedic philosophy, you can't explain the religion like the silence of Jesus Christ. Because you can't describe and you can't.
Yeah, can't describe. You always have that aspect of the inconceivable. We will also say, but the point is you can speak about. But the point is the unlimited level. You can't describe. How can you describe unlimited? You can talk about that there is unlimited, but you can't actually describe unlimited.
Is there a conclusion to be silent?
Yes. So that that's better. If they become silent, is good. Mayavadis would accept that. That would be good. If they come up to that level, they should stop talking. So it's only the neophytes would talk, but the advanced Mayavadis would stop talking. So that would be good.
Buddhists practice silence.
Yeah, they do. It's all part of that. Yes.
I guess that's the difference between Chinese and Hindus. Hindus can't stop talking.
No, they can't. They can't. They just can't stop talking. Yes. So yeah, so you have to see the nature, right? You know, so. Okay, Uttara. This idea should be rejected. If one accepts the appearance of knowledge and bliss in proximity to Brahman, do not arise within Brahman. Do not arise within Brahman. They should be accepted as qualities of Brahman. Just as there is a shining effulgence like the glow of the moon spreading its rays around a mirror, what spreads out is Brahman's quality. Elsewhere, in lamps, etc., there is no white effulgence. Right, so without the there's qualities to be there, because if everything's Brahman, it has to be coming from Brahman. So Brahman has to have its original source. So again, it comes back to that Brahman is unchanging, but Brahman has its energies. The energies are manifesting all these varieties. And so anything where there's the variety of moving in and out of the material into the spiritual, that will be done through the energy. So the Lord himself is always situated spiritually. After the internal functions of Anantakarana, part of Maya, generate differences with forms of blue and forms of joy, with awareness of the opposite of suffering and insentience, particular states of knowledge and bliss are experienced. Because you're aware of the two. And being that aware, that's when you are experiencing this knowledge and bliss. These must be qualities of Brahman, since the suffering and ignorance, their opposites, are not qualities of Brahman, being made of Maya, generated by Upadis, and since what remains after destruction of suffering and ignorance must be pure and self-manifesting in Brahman. So if we're saying is that through knowledge you get rid of ignorance, then you come to that platform of Ananda. So the point is that if all this is by ignorance, I mean, what is it? The opposite qualities, right? From Brahman, right? Because Brahman is opposite of the material of illusion. And so by having this knowledge, you go beyond that illusion to its opposite. So then it must be Brahman. Mm-hmm. By their statement of Brahman is opposite from illusion.
Yes.
Because, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Is that we're studying something. We're studying the transcendence. By understanding that, then we experience the happiness of going beyond the material nature. So what's beyond? Brahman. So that means this Vijnanam and Anandam must be part of Brahman. Otherwise, why are we experiencing? Otherwise, then they have to say there's something in between.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, they end up with just void nothingness, and so then they're Buddhists. And probably, depending upon if you're talking Sampradayic Mayavadis, to call them Buddhists, that would be a serious insult. Because that's the whole thing, is that they defeated the Buddha and kicked them out of India. And then to call them Buddhists, and they would, you know. Because of the appearance of difference in these qualities, there are different qualities in the Surupa Brahman. Right? Because the qualities themselves are different, like we discussed Ananda and Vijnana, that they have different aspects. So they can't, they're not mutually inclusive. Right? There is clearly uniqueness in the function of a blue form within Brahman. If there were no difference between the opposites of matter and suffering, then one would experience happiness through knowledge. There would be the fault of the manifestation of a quality within an object when it is not supposed to be present. Is it?
There is no difference between
Go ahead.
If there is no difference between one quality and another, if everything means the same, then from one you can experience the other, but in reality it doesn't happen like this.
Yes. Yes. Means you get one quality, the experience of one quality from that quality, not from another.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise then they would all come from each other.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Otherwise something that's not in one object you would be experiencing when it actually belongs to another object.
Yes.
So, yeah. The authors of the sutras indicate difference. Qualities like bliss in the Lord would be collected together for meditation. Should be collected together for meditation. Brahma Sutra 3.3.12. So it's talking about meditation on the Lord, so you collect these qualities. Okay. If it is claimed that Brahman, so that's what we're doing, we're following the Vedanta Sutra recommendation when we're going through the southern ocean of the nectar of devotion, we're collecting qualities of the Lord to meditate on. Yes. If it is claimed that Brahman is merely distinct from suffering and matter, and is not the form of knowledge and bliss, and not the counter-correlate of matter and suffering, then it is nothing at all. This is Shunyavad. Right? So it's not Nirvishesh. Shunyavad. What more can be said? The Vedas are the highest proof. Taking their natural meaning, there is no absolute oneness, since that meaning can only be derived when one takes all the statements of the Vedas as lakshana, figurative. Discarding the authorities who speak the meaning of the Vedas. Right? So therefore, if it's all about figurative, then by the same quality even, then there's no authority in that. But then Shankara, all of what he's saying is figurative also. So if that's all there is in authority, so if there is the direct meaning, the Abhida meaning, then we have to be able to see it in that way. Otherwise, you can't say that.
Usually we use this lakshana approach mainly for poetry.
Mm-hmm. It's used in poetry, or yes, poetry, but it can also be as a poetic way of saying things. Like you see a lot of times that they're using the, in describing the qualities of Krishna, they're using this lakshana aspect. You know, especially the last few that have been there,
mm-hmm.
you know, talking about how Krishna is going out and destroying all the demons, you know, like the elephant goes into the pond with all the lotuses and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So his strength is like that. So they're using the lakshana. But, you know, it's not that Duryodhana is a lotus. Yeah, you know. Maybe a thorn tree, but not a lotus. You know, so it's just, it is figurative, but it's not that the actual point's not being made. You're showing the direct point through an indirect discussion. It's just nice. It's just pleasant. So you see, as you add the sweetness aspect, it's used more. It doesn't mean that there's not the quality is not there. It's just not in that particular explanation.
Yes. Also, the Lakshana is used in the Vedas, as it said before that. The principles are established, but by Lakshana, only those who are in the right mood to experience it can get the realization. Others who are not having the right mood, then they are like an open secret as well.
Okay, that's a nice way. Yeah, that's very awesome. So that's why they can explain all this. That's why, let's say you read a purport. And you get something from it. But then let's say after a year you read it again, you'll see things that weren't there before. And then if you do again after some time, it just keeps... So that's just the whole thing. Is it's all there because it's revealed knowledge. So something that it can be direct, it has to be revealed. But at the same time, is there sometimes words that because of that or situations of that, we will take them not in a spiritual way. So then those can be talked about in Lakshana. So then for as one matures in Krishna consciousness, then one can see the actual meaning. But before that, one doesn't, and that's fine. Does that make sense? Yes.
So in that sense, actually, all these arguments and explanation by Jiva Goswami and other acharyas are for devotees, not for the impersonal.
It's basically for that means if the impersonalist has it, so it's not just for arguing, because our business is not to argue, but for us to be very clear, because if you're convinced about it, then you are going to be able to explain it to someone else, and if they have that sincerity, like we see in Prakashananda Saraswati, then they took it, or Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, they took it. But then there's others who don't. You know, it's like, what is it? That Chakravarti with Haridas Thakur? Or something, sometime. Huh? No, it was, I can't. Was it Raman? No. There's quite a few these Khans, you know? I think there may be three Ramachandra Khans. Like, you know, the one that harassed Lord Chaitanya, the one that harassed Lord Nityananda, and then that one that was in Vrindavan. Like that, so it seems to be.
Gopalji.
Sorry?
Gopalji.
Gopal Chakrabarty. Yeah. Okay, Chakrabarty. Gopal Chakrabarty. Like that. So he didn't have, so then he couldn't accept it. But so all these things are more for us to remove the anarthas in our heart, because we've been in the material world, we've been through all this, we have been Maya bodies before, we have been sitting there in Mahakalapura thinking we're Brahman and all that, with Gopal Kumar going by and going, you know, and we've done all that, and so you just want to make sure that all this is removed like that. So it's for the devotees. But at the same time is, then the devotees can use this and explaining it to others. Does that make sense? So as we understand it, so it's not a matter of just memorizing and being able to use it. It's a matter of, as you realize that you can use it. Or at least as you understand it, you can start to use it. And then applying it like that, then the realization will come. So...
like Prabhupada took it for a sport to argue with.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Because how when was the last time anybody met an actual, you know, card carrying Sampradayak Mayavadi? Right? Like that, you know. So it's like, so we met them, we just, you know, just don't talk to them. You know, you meet them and just, you know, offer your respects and all that. Because they think they're superior anyway, so there's no point in. And then you move on. Like even with Lord Chaitanya, those sannyasis thought they were superior. So only when Lord Chaitanya came, you know, and manifesting humility and all that, but, you know, okay, he's got good qualities and not, but at the same time, he is in a junior position. Then when he manifests the Brahman effulgence, then they understand, okay, he's manifesting qualities of Narayana. Yes. You know, so who is this sannyasi? you know, then they wanted to hear. You know, that's the thing, is sometimes without doing these things, then they don't want to hear, right? You know, it's just like the philosophy is there, everything's being spoken very nicely, but nobody cares unless you can take, you know, one baguette and feed everybody there. Right? You know, then, you know, then everybody's like, ooh, okay.
You got to heal all their sick people too, though.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, that's also that.
Non, je posais à Keshavandi Sannyasi, it was very quick.
Yes.
Because it was an after the Tut Prashad, it was very, very quick.
Yeah, it would have been just the normal time of discussing and eating and all that kind of thing like that. Yeah, and they'll be regulated in eating.
Yes.
So yes. But that's the potency of the Lord. He's supreme pure, so therefore he has that potency. As we become pure, we have that potency. Because it's the Lord's potency. So as the one's pure, then that chit potency is able to affect others. Yes.
The only credit of this Mayavad is because they follow Vedas, they have the discrimination of power of seeing what is Brahman and what is ignorance.
Yes.
So then when something pure comes in and they have good attitude, they can take it.
They can take it, yeah. Means, in other words, if they're sincere seekers, but all up to now all they've come across is impersonal philosophy, then, you know, they may be nicely centered and all that in it and fixed in it. But as soon as they come across Krishna as the center,
yes,
then they can make that switch because they're looking for the highest.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're proud of what they have and think that, you know, this is it because they're special, then there's a good chance it'll take a little longer. You know, that's why you see sometimes get. When devotee was saying, you know, his friend wanted to go to the temple for the Sunday program, for the feast. You know, because they're going there not because, oh, wow, they're discussing philosophy. They're going there because there's free food, right? Like that. And that should be noted, right? Now, that's the fun thing. Indians don't go because there's free food. That goes part of the program and all that. Westerners go because there's free food. And then sometimes temple asks, why are there only Indians? There's no Westerners. Because there's no free food. That's why.
In some places, the food is free, but you have to pay for the plate.
You can get, so if you just stick out your hands or you bring your own thing.
What do you do? Just get somewhere to put it in.
So if you bring your own Tupperware little thing, then you can, they'll give you for free. They figured us out.
That's why in India you only put hands.
Yeah. You don't want to pay for the plate. Yeah, so then, so he went. He wasn't free food. Okay, he goes. When he gets there, then you know devotees are talking and all that, and so that he argued like anything, like just, you know, just like completely like this. And the friend liked it, like that, so he went, I think, 7 times or 9 times to the Sunday programs. You know, just arguing like anything, until after nine weeks, he joined. So there's something there. So by taking prasad, because in the one, he's not convinced. But it's the effect of the prasad for 9 times, you know. And it's not just a little bit in the hand, right? They feel you up to the neck and you can't walk. You know, that's the standard. So.
It's nice when we express our doubt to argument. This means that when slowly we can become convinced.
Yes.
And it's because if we don't express the argument, we keep.
Yes, so that these come up, and so then they can be discussed. Yeah. Or it's just that they come up, we get purified, they go away. But the point is you use all angles. Why just use one? You know, so there's kirtan, there's prasad, there's service to the deity, association with the Vaishnavas, we're hearing and chanting, you know, like this, we're doing service. You know, all these aspects we're doing. So then, you know, that's the point, is that we're doing all the aspects. So by all of them, or even by just one of them, we can become perfect. But, you know, why not, you know, do more, right? Okay. We just got to the They were just up to the figurative, right?
By taking figurative.
Okay. Okay. Taking their natural meaning, there is no absolute oneness. Since that meaning can only be derived if one takes all the statements of the Vedas as lakshana, figurative. Okay. Discarding the authorities who speak the meaning of the Vedas. Okay, so if you take it as lakshana, then you're discarding the authorities who speak the meaning of the Vedas. So they're giving the essence and this and that. Now you're saying these authorities that the Veda is we're hearing from, that then it is all, it's all just figurative, it's all lakshana. Then that means then their position, their authority doesn't really have any meaning. By taking figurative meanings, one must even take the Sarupa Brahman as figurative. But the statement Vijnanam Ananda Brahma does not tolerate indirect meaning. Since the meaning can be taken directly, why should one impose other meanings? Okay, so it directly says these things, because they talk about these things. Right? That's why it's mentioned, because this is what they talk about. Yes?
It's funny, because when we were just in Chaitanya Charitamrita, this is the exact conversation that he was having, that if there is a direct meaning, that's what you have to take.
Yes.
And then so they asked him, okay, now give us the direct meaning.
Yes. 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 The opponent claims that words cannot be directly used to indicate Brahman, since Brahman is devoid of type and quality. But this is not logical, since words like Sarup can be used to indicate the Sarup of Brahman. It is said, Yato Vacho Nivartante. Words cannot describe it. Taittiriya Upanishad 2.4.1. This simply means that because Brahman is unlimited and beyond this world, it cannot be properly described with words like, Brahman is this big. But you can't use like that. You can give the words to indicate what is going on. The impersonalists have stated that there is one entity beyond discussion, which is indescribable, but which appears to be happiness and awareness because the words knowledge and bliss are used in the scripture. But the direct meaning of Ananda is seen in the following. Etasyai vanandasyan yani bhutani matram upa jivanti. All beings live because of that bliss. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 4.3.32. Shuka is described as follows. Adrishtam avya vaharyam avyapadeshyam sukham. This happiness is unseen, not transacted, and not describable. Anandamayo vyasat. Brahman is indicated to be bliss because of repetition. Brahma Sutra 1.1.12. Thus, the uses of words show that Brahman is directly described by words. Right? Yes.
I'm not clear with Anandamaya Vyasat. Why is it mentioned because of the repetition? Isn't it self-proving statement?
Well, their meaning is that Brahman is indicated because of repetition means everywhere it's talking about Brahman is Ananda.
Oh.
So it's saying that therefore by that point of repetition we understand that Brahman is Ananda. Mm. So they're pointing out as these qualities are there, or knowledge is there. They're internal differences within Brahman. So there, since they're not accepting differences, then that problem is all these are external to Brahman. So then how can any of that manipulation of that which is external get you Brahman if it has no connection to Brahman? Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's the difficulty, is that it doesn't make sense what they're saying. So, left this off. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Vrindavan ki.